32-bit versus 64-bit OSs. What's the difference? On October 28th in PC Magazine by Eric Griffith. Chances are good you're running an x64-based operating system. But what does that even mean? There are a lot of ways to count, but when it comes to computers, there is only binary, 0 and 1. Each one is considered a bit. That means for 1-bit computing, you get two possible values. 2-bit means 4 values. Then at 3 bits, you double that to 8, 2 to the third power, aka 2 cubed. Keep going exponentially, and eventually you get 32-bit, 2 to the 32nd power, worth 4,294,967,296. 64-bit, or 2 to the 64th power, is worth 18,446,744,073,709,551,616 values. That's 18.4 quintillion and change. That's a lot of bits. And the numbers show just how much more powerful a chip that supports higher bit computing can be. It's a lot more than double. That's because every few years, the chips inside the computers, even smartphones, and the software running on those chips makes leaps forward in supporting a new number. For example, the Intel 8080 chip in the 1970s supported 8-bit computing. In 1992, Windows 3.1 was the first 16-bit desktop version of Windows. AMD shipped the first 64-bit desktop chip in 2003. Apple made Mac OS X Snow Leopard entirely 64-bit in 2009. The first smartphone with a 64-bit chip, Apple A7, was the iPhone 5S in 2014. It's pretty obvious. 64-bit, sometimes styled as X64, is capable of doing more than 32-bit. You might know 32-bit as X86, a term that was originally referred to any OS with the instruction set to work on Intel chips like the 8086 through 8486. These days, you are most likely already running 64-bit chips with 64-bit operating systems, which in turn run 64-bit apps for mobile or programs on the desktop, to settle on some nomenclature. But not always. Windows 7, 8, 8.1, and 10 all came in 32-bit or 64-bit versions, for example. How do you even tell which one you have? Identify a 64-bit OS. If you are running Windows on a computer less than 10 years old, your chip is almost guaranteed to be 64-bit, but you may have installed a 32-bit version of the OS. It's easy enough to check. In Windows 10, go to Settings, System, then About, or type About in the Windows 10 search box. Under the Drive Specifications heading, you'll see it at System Type, 64-bit Operating System, X64-based Processor. Means you're covered. Mac users don't have to worry about this, as Mac OS has been 64-bit only for a long time. In fact, as of the latest version, 10.14 Catalina, 32-bit applications on a Mac aren't even technically supported. But we have a guide for running 32-bit apps in Mac OS Catalina, if you must. Why 32-bit at all? Why should you install a 32-bit OS on a PC? The big reason is because you have a 32-bit processor, which requires a 32-bit OS. Having such a CPU today is unlikely. Intel started making 32-bit processors in the 8386 range way back in 1985. It was selling 64-bit processors by 2001. If you've bought a PC since the Pentium D chip came out in 2005, it's unlikely you'd have only a 32-bit instruction set inside. More likely, you have an old system with an operating system you installed that only came as 32-bit. Subsequent upgrades, if any, may not have jumped your install up to 64-bit. That may be fine. Not all of the earliest 64-bit processors had all the features in place. You can determine if your PC is really ready for a full 64-bit by using software like 64-bit Checker. It works on all versions of Windows, going back to Windows 95. Installing a 32-bit OS on a 64-bit architecture system can work, but it's not optimal. A 32-bit OS, for example, has more limitations, the standout being it can only really utilize 4 gigabytes of RAM. Installing more RAM on a system with a 32-bit OS doesn't have much impact on performance. However, upgrade that system with excess RAM to the 64-bit version of Windows, and you'll notice a difference. This should spell it out in the starkest way. The officially supported maximum RAM on Windows 10 is 2 terabytes, or 128 gigabytes on Windows 10 Home. The theoretical limit of RAM at 64-bit, 16 exabytes. That's equal to 1 million terabytes, or 1 billion gigabytes. But we're a long way from having hardware that could ever support that. Either way, it makes buying a new laptop with 16 gigabytes of RAM seem unimpressive, doesn't it? 64-bit computing features many other improvements, though in ways that may not be noticeable to the naked eye. Wider data paths, larger integer sizes, 8-octet memory addresses. It's all stuff for the computer scientist to take advantage of to make your computing all the more powerful. Programs in 64 bits. You may also notice that some programs you download for your desktop operating system come in 32 and 64-bit versions. Firefox is a good example, where the options are Windows 32-bit and Windows 64-bit, as well as Linux or Linux 64-bit. The Mac OS version is 64-bit only. Why do that? Because 32-bit OSs are still out there for some. Those systems need 32-bit software. They typically can't even install a 64-bit program and certainly won't run them. However, a 64-bit OS can support a 32-bit program. Windows in particular has built in an emulation subsystem for that called Windows 32 on Windows 64 or WoW 64. Look in your C drive sometime. You'll see two program folders, one for 64-bit programs, another called Program Folders (x86) just for 32-bit applications. You'll be kind of astounded how much 32-bit code is still out there. On the Mac, you're less likely to find much 32-bitness, which is why Apple is banning 32-bit apps under Catalina, or at least trying. But you can check your apps. On the Apple menu, select About This Mac, click System Report, and highlight all the applications listed under Software. Each one will have a 64-bit Intel entry, yes or no. Most are going to be yes. If you have an important program that says no, avoid Catalina for now or read our workarounds. A bit about mobile 64-bit. As noted above, Apple's A7 chip was the first 64-bit processor to go into a mobile phone, the iPhone 5S. In 2015, Apple mandated that all iOS software had to go 64. As of June 2016, opening a 32-bit app in the latest version of iOS caused a not-optimized warning. Using it may affect overall system performance. If you've got an iPhone 5S or higher with iOS 10 or higher, you can't use those older 32-bit apps that haven't had an update. That's the best thing about Apple's closed system. It can force that to happen. On Android phones, it can be a little trickier to uncover details unless you're well-versed on what chip is inside. If you're not running Android 5.0 Lollipop or newer, you're still 32-bit. One app that will tell you is the Antutu benchmark. Load it, check the info button, and look for the Android line. It'll tell you the Android version and if it's 32 or 64-bit. For iOS and Android, this isn't about opening up the OS to using more RAM. In fact, going x64 isn't a guarantee of better performance. Going 64-bit has other benefits, things like fetching even more data per cycle and faster, better encryption, and overall moving to new 64-bit chips with improved features like power efficiency. Ultimately, the 64-bit revolution is already here, and you don't need to know anything about x64 to be part of it.